Alec, it was, as you, as I said, there was a good win for Letterkenny over their Cavan opponents, Virginia, but Donegal Town losing out to Strabane in Rugby Championship 2.
Yeah, that's this Letterkenny, that's the second time I've seen them this year, and it's the second time they've won. So they've asked me to keep coming up every Saturday, but I said I didn't think that would be possible. But yesterday, it was a hard-fought game, and at one stage it was 11-7, and then they scored their second try to go 18-7 up, and that really was what they needed, because Virginia came back very strongly and got a converted score. So 18-14 was the final score, and John Anthony McFadden and wing forward Chris Digamus, they were the two scorers. But it was a hard fought game, and at times there was tries, opportunities, but bad passing and a few drop passes. But generally speaking, it was a good game, and certainly Peter Scott, who kicked a couple of conversions for Letterkenny and made a superb break to lead up to that second score, he was certainly the man of the match. But all in all, they'll be delighted with that, because they've had a few disappointing results up in the last number of games, so that result will lift hearts and give them confidence going to the next game. As you said there, in that league as well, Strabane, they travelled to Donegal Town, just too strong. Strabane going very, very well, sitting second in that league, and yesterday they travelled down and scored 8 tries in their 46-8 result. One would expect that, because Strabane, apart from Lurgan now, it's going to be Lurgan and Strabane look to be the two teams that are probably going to fight out to see who gets promotion up to the Rugby Regional 2. But certainly Strabane are on a very, very good run this season, scoring a lot of points. Very, very strong pack score, a lot of pushover tries due to the strength of their scrum, and they'll be delighted with that result yesterday.
And in Rugby Conference West, City of Derry had a win over Inishowen there, and of course Rugby Championship, but Coleraine beating Cook and Larne beating Limavady 8-3.
Yeah, well, that result, I would imagine that was a reasonably good City of Derry third team, because the seconds had no game, and they would certainly wanted to get some game time for them. But Inishowen, that's their first defeat this season, and they'll be rather disappointed in that one, because they were sort of sitting top of the table. 24-12, as you said, was the score in that one. Also in that Rugby Regional West, Letterkenny, they conceded to Cookstown in that one. As you said, Coleraine, that was a good result for them in Rugby Regional 1. They went up to Cook, winning 26-18. But Limavady's poor season continued. They went up to Larne and lost by 8-3. And really, their season has really been a bit of a disaster for them, because I think they've only won 2 games, and they were expecting to do really, really well this year. And another result which played yesterday morning was in the Under-18 League, where Letterkenny, Under-18s, once again shown how good they are, defeating City of Derry by 48-5.
And we'll switch now, Alec, to the Rugby Internationals. Ireland playing Fiji yesterday. A 3-point win in that one.
Yeah, it was an interesting one, a very enjoyable game to watch. I mean, Fiji are a team that you just don't know what's going to happen next. They can run the ball from anywhere. They have so many talented individuals. But it was a tight game, and really, you know, it took a penalty at the very end to separate the two sides. Ireland had gone into a 17-3 point lead, and it looked as if things were going to be easy. But then back came the Fijians with 2 tries to 11-17 all. Then they exchanged penalties to go 20 all, and then it was Keatley, who'd come on for the injured Johnny Carberry, he then kicked the vital penalty. Carberry, unfortunately, a very talented player, and once again he seems to have this injury blight. Just last year when he was going well, he got injured and he missed a lot of games, and yesterday I see from the paper that it's possibly a fractured arm, so it'd be touch and go to see whether he would be available for Six Nations, because with Paddy Jackson unavailable at the moment, and if anything happened to Johnny Sexton, Joe Smith needs a number 10 who can do things. And certainly yesterday, Carberry, with his time in the field, made a beautiful break for the first score, and certainly he will be a big loss. But I would say Joe Smith will be slightly disappointed. I know that he picked a youngie side and players who haven't played or one or two caps, but nevertheless, you know, he's building from it. And Fiji, of course, you don't know what they're like. And with a little bit of luck, Fiji could easily have won that game. But I don't think that a lot of players that played yesterday, some of them may be in the bench, but I would imagine that Smith will put the full guns out next week against Argentina, because it's very, very important that they finish the autumn series with a good victory.
And staying with the Rugby Internationals, we will come to England and Australia in a minute. But as you just mentioned there, Argentina beating Italy 31-15. Wales had a 7-point win over Georgia. The other two games yesterday, Scotland 17, New Zealand 22. That was a bit close.
That was a fabulous game. I watched it. I saw bits and pieces of it last night, but I watched it this morning, and Scotland, they were so, so close. They got back to 22-17, and Stuart Hogg made an absolute scorching break with about 80 seconds to go. And he almost got there, but Beauden Barrett got a hand on him, and as he threw the ball inside, it went slightly forward. Had it gone backwards, probably one of the Scottish guys might have picked it up, and they could have drawn the game, or even with the conversion won it. But it was so close for Scotland, and might not get an opportunity like that again. But Gregor Townsend already, you can see the difference in that Scottish team. It's very much like watching the Glasgow team that he had for so long. Obviously a lot of the players with him in Glasgow, but a tremendous performance by Scotland, and really you'd have to say the All Blacks will be very, very happy to have come away with that victory, because there was a time when it looked as if Scotland were going to do well, but unfortunately a bad decision at the scrum near the end, and it meant that there was a turnover for New Zealand. At that stage Scotland were right up on the line, but that's how it goes. But certainly looking at Scotland yesterday and the way they've been playing so far, they'll certainly be a big threat in the Six Nations.
And France and South Africa, 18-17 in favour of South Africa. Was that a different South African team than they played Ireland?
Well, you would have thought so, but you would think so. Although France, of course, have had you know, were beaten. They played a game again last Tuesday night again against New Zealand, but. It's hard to know with South Africa. Maybe that France didn't particularly pick their strongest side. You don't know. But certainly from their coach's point of view and from South Africa's point of view, after the annihilation that they had at the Aviva, I would have said they would have been very happy to come away with anything, even such a narrow victory in that one.
And coming to the other international game yesterday, a fifth win in a row for England over Australia, but it wasn't without its controversy.
Oh, unbelievable. Interestingly, I have a friend who's back from Australia. He emigrated a long time ago. He played rugby with me, and he was here this morning watching the game because he hadn't seen it. And I have to say, I didn't watch it myself last night because I wanted to watch it with him. I'd heard a wee bit of it on the radio coming back from Letterkenny, but you have to say that the decision against Hooper, I could not understand what Stuart Burns was talking about on the television, because everybody in the studio said it was a try. It was a matter that the kick ahead, yes, Hooper was ahead of the player, but the winger played everybody onside. And whenever he failed to get the touchdown, Hooper was in a position to do it. How the referee could come up with that decision, I don't know. Because if you think in rugby, whenever a fullback gets the ball and he kicks it down the field, it's one day, you know, you could then argue that every player in his team in front of him is offside, you know, if that logic's carried through. And that was a big, big blow to them. Also, the two yellow cards that they got, fair enough, they were warned about it. But there was also a decision when Atuji absolutely slapped the ball out of the scrum half's hand as he went to pass, you know, and why that wasn't a yellow card. And of course, then there was the controversy about the try, where they said there was obstruction. Well, you know, again, as I think it was Clive Woodward said, you know, in every situation, there's always going to be, and rugby being a physical game, somebody's in front of someone. And I thought, you know, from Australia's point of view, up until that, they were very unfortunate. Having said that, of course, England then just took advantage of three opportunities. And, you know, 30 points to 6 looks like a hammering, but really, it was so, so close up in the 8 minutes to go. But I think that, you know, with TMOs now and refereeing, I think, as I said, Michael Checa, who is a tremendously enthusiastic coach, and put it in the nicest possible way, I think he was very magnanimous when he was interviewed. He just said, the referee made a decision and we have to stick with it. You know, I can't think of other coaches. I'm sure he was seething, but those two decisions really changed the game. And from Australia's point of view, they'll be disappointed, but I don't think that England and Eddie Jones will be under any illusions that Australia were probably the better side overall.
And just finally, Alec, to look ahead to Ireland's game with Argentina, does Joe Schmidt have a tough job in his hand picking that team?
Well, I think he will, yes. You see, the thing is that, as you well know, like we all remember the last time we met Argentina in the quarterfinals of the World Cup, and after 20 minutes, the game was over. They are a side on their day, capable of some tremendous rugby, and they have a good record against Ireland, but I think he will go with what he would see as his A team. I think he'll go with the team that he hopes maybe will start the Six Nations. Of course, there's injuries always to be played with, but the team that played the first match, match. I think all his Lions will be playing. He'll also probably have a strong bench. The centre combination will be interesting to see. Will he go back to Henshaw and Bundy Alley? Obviously, Stockdale will come back. The full back position maybe is open for grabs because Rob Kearney is not the player he was in that one. But I think you'll find that there'll be no experimentation as far as he's concerned next week. I think he'll pick the 15 players he feels can win the game.